Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dodd, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today we delve into the new services strategy at D&H Canada in a conversation with Roy Rivers, Vice President of Sale, and Chris Ralston, Director of Vendor Management at the distributor. Roy and Chris talk about the thinking behind the services strategy and the role the distributor plays in helping SMB-focused VARs offer more in-depth services without making major investments. We also discuss what services they offer today and how they fit into helping solution providers have a deeper bench, why it's focusing on security-related professional services, its flexible approach in working with partners under their own brands, how D&H differentiates itself in a world of distributors offering such services, and much more. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Roy Rivers and Chris Ralston. Gentlemen, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate the opportunity.
Rob, thanks, as always, for giving D&H some airtime, and it's always a pleasure speaking to you.
You guys have recently launched your professional and managed services into the Canadian market. Wanted to take a moment to find out what's going on there and kind of get into the strategy behind it. I guess to throw it open, could we talk a little bit maybe about the thinking that led up to this launch and why it's important for D&H to bring to bear some of these professional and managed services?
Yeah, Rob, it's... So let me kind of give you some backdrop. I've been with D&H now 2 years, and as I've gone out and had a lot of discussions, spoken to a lot of the VAR community, it's apparent that they're trying to and certainly have awareness that they need to expand their services capabilities. They have been focused on it. They've, you know, I think collectively done a good job on it. But there's been a pretty big investment to expand services and go deeper and be able to provide good capabilities out to their customers. And it's, you know, it's a lot to ask to make those investments and kind of look at your books and say, hey, we're gonna put a lot of money down to go do that. So there's a need. I have broached the subject with them to say if D&H came up with something that could augment what they do, would there be interest? And the answer resoundingly was yes. They have most of the small and medium VARs in Canada have a pretty loyal customer set where they are and have been a trusted advisor, but maybe there are times where they either need to partner with someone or they have been reluctant to do that to where there is identified needs based on services capabilities they don't have. And so that was really the impetus behind us looking at this from a Canadian perspective. And Chris can explain some of the background leading up to this and really what our offerings are.
Yeah, so, you know, I think from our perspective, there's a lot of value to be had. And customers really are looking for solutions. And if you look at our reseller marketplace, we typically cater to the SMB reseller. Those resellers really, I mean, they treat their customers like gold, right? So they want to sell as much as they can to the partners, and it's expensive for them to build out their own technical bench. So really what our services are designed to do is to augment their bench. We're not competing with any of our partners. And, you know, we've built out an offering that I think will allow our partners to really mean more to their customers. They'll be able to service more of their businesses and capture more of revenue opportunity by going to market with a wider bench and having more meaningful conversations with their customers.
All right. That idea of building a bench, that's something that I hear a fair bit, especially from smaller solution providers, SMB-focused partners. There are a lot of these services that, you know, come to bear periodically, but it is too... challenging to have someone on staff who's devoted to that when those opportunities are, you know, less than would support a full-time resource. Can you elaborate a little bit on the kinds of services that you're bringing to bear in this kind of first wave of professional and managed services?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we look at our services, there's really kind of three main pillars that we focused on. The first is managed services. The second would be professional services, and then the third are IT services. So I'll just kind of walk you through those three main verticals or categories of services. First, the IT services really focuses on delivering install and configure services across most major tier one vendors' technology. So what we're doing there is really working with our partners, and we've given them the resources to be able to go out and install and configure any type of Tier 1 vendor's solution. All of our services are nationwide, so partners coast to coast can take advantage of these services. And like I said, these are highly skilled professional people that our partners now have access to and really can go out and drive a new conversation with a lot of their customers. So we're really trying to give our partners the ability to work wider with their clients, and we think we've done that with this offering. The second category that we focused on is managed services. So under the managed services umbrella, we're offering managed IT services. So we've got the ability now to go out and sell a white label offering to our partners that they can go out and sell to their clients to really kind of manage their IT environment. Those services are done based on a contracted basis, and the contracts are sold at a minimum of 1 year. And with that service, we, again, are offering break and fix services. So, you know, if clients got needs where, you know, they've got downtime and they need somebody to come up quickly and deliver a break and fix service, that's available as well to them. And then the other category is professional services. So on the professional services side, we're really focused on delivering pre-sale services there. And those are really consultative services around security and some of the other major technologies that clients might be interested in. The focus for us really under professional services is security, though. And we've really taken the time to build out a wide line card and give our partners the ability to have real meaningful conversations around security, because it's top of mind for everybody these days.
Yeah, no doubt. And at a time when even the big security vendors are finding it hard to get the get appropriate staffing in terms of skilled people, that problem is certainly magnified for the SMB VAR. So I'd imagine any help they can get in that regard would be most welcome. You mentioned white label in the nature of at least one of those services offerings along the way. These are all services that are offered on a white label basis or under the partner's brand. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So we can work with partners any way that they want us to. Generally speaking, most partners want us to go out as a white label offering under their brand. There's some partners that are comfortable working with us and having us go out and be kind of the D&H brand, but for the most part, we're working as a white-labeled offering with our partners.
Can you tell me a little about what you see as the D&H differentiator here? You know, this is a space that some of your peers also play in, and that some third-party companies kind of act in these kinds of roles or offer services. What's the differentiator for D&H in your opinion?
Well, I'll start off on that and then turn over to Chris. But I think, you know, the biggest difference here is what's part of our basic culture and our focus as a business, which is we're not focusing on the larger VAR community here. We're focused on offering it to small and medium VARs as well as anyone who's larger as well to augment what they do. So it's again, sticking the knitting and doing what we do, which is focusing on the small and medium business space in Canada to, again, help those that maybe can't afford or don't want to pony up their dollars to go deep into an investment. Because it's hard to go with a kind of a couple of toes into the water on services. So we're really helping, you know, I'll say a wider audience. That's probably our difference. And I think that opens up a whole bunch of different opportunities for the health of the SMB community in Canada. Chris, would you add anything to that?
Yeah, I agree with you. The only thing I would add is that, you know, we really take the time to curate a services line card that matches our partner base. And Roy is exactly right. We cater to the SMB marketplace. That's our strength. And the services that we've built really are focused on meeting their needs. So, you know, I think, you know, from a services perspective, a lot of partners can deliver an enterprise service with a high price tag, but that doesn't work for our SMB partners. The services that we're delivering are a good fit for our partner base, and that's our differentiator.
All right. Before we started recording, we talked a little bit sort of about the background of D&H in this space, and, you know, you made the comment that some of the services you bring to bear our services you've offered in the States, and some are specific to Canada. I wonder if you could elaborate a little bit, kind of on what you see as the the specific challenges that you're looking to address in the Canadian market, and kind of how the marketplace for and appetite for these kinds of services is different in Canada.
Well, I'll start off by saying, you know, SMB in Canada, and we've talked about this before, Rob, SMB in Canada is different than SMB in the States.
Absolutely.
So even from a D&H perspective, the SMB VAR or you know, a small and medium VAR in the States, they touch into more data center enterprise opportunities, so bigger customers. In Canada, we got to be sensitive to the fact that, you know, in most of the communities in the SMB space, they're not as deep from an enterprise perspective. Mm-hmm. The volumes are a little lower, and so there's a bit of a scale difference. And then with that, we've got to be sensitive to being cost effective and competitive as well, with maybe some of the bigger providers in Canada. That's kind of from my perspective what I would see as a little different.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think it shows up most in some of our managed services offerings.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we've really taken the time to curate the right services at the right price for our partners, so that makes sense for the SMB customer. In the U.S., they've got a little bit more larger scale, so the pricing pressure, if you will, is not as great in the U.S. as it is in Canada. The other thing that we've done with our services, we've kind of created this very large and wide line card, but, mm-hmm. We're using those services as well to support some of our partners and help them build out a vertical practice. So things like security that we've talked about before, but we're also doing things around digital signage where we've got, a bucket of services offerings there that we can really help partners enter the digital signage space. So some of those offerings are around doing digital content creation and also delivering digital content in a hosted situation to end customers. So, those are some of the things and some of the benefits that partners are going to be able to enjoy as we build out our services offerings and then also our vertical practices.
It sounds like it's starting to get into some practice builder kind of opportunities as well for solution providers that are looking to get into a space like you described with digital signage, but need that help to start building both the business and the organizational muscle memory on how to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think at the end of the day, customers are looking for solutions. So, we're good at selling technology for sure, but we really want to focus on solutions. And solutions to us means not only the products, but also the services.
It's been, I know it's early days, but you guys have been out in marketing Canada these for a few weeks now. Wondering any early thoughts on kind of reactions you've seen and sort of lessons learned as the services have gone out there?
Yeah, from my perspective, so we've been actually in market now for almost a month, mm-hmm. and I've been very, very pleased and surprised, if you will, just on the amount of activity that we've had. So there's obviously a need for this, and what I would say is that the security practice that we're building out is really where we're seeing a lot of interest from our partners. The standard installer configuration is always going to come up, and we understand that, but there's a lot of partners out there are looking for solutions around services, and it should be no surprise. I mean, services security is top of mind for all of our partners and end customers, and that's really where we're seeing the focus.
Yeah, I'll just echo what Chris said, not to be redundant, but I'll echo it that security is important no matter what the size of the customer, and therefore any VAR in their community with their set of partners is going to hear about security from their customers. So mm-hmm. having offerings, and one of the other things I would add here is too is that assessments are a critical thing to open up the doors for additional opportunity, and it's not just services opportunity. What'll follow will be additional hardware opportunity as well.
Sure.
So the assessment at the front end is pretty critical to opening the door to conversation, to opportunity, and then bringing in the services that they can again represent as their own with us as a backstop. So, but Chris hit it right on the head, which is which is security is top of mind no matter what the size of the company. So that's something I've heard about. I just was in Montreal with some bars, and security is definitely top of mind everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. Another thing that I think probably works well in your favor is the position of D&H as a distributor. I've heard more than once from this kind of smaller solution provider the idea that they'd like to get into some aspect where they need help on the bench, but they're kind of hesitant to hand that over to a third party that is a partner in some regards, but could be a competitor in other regards. The relationship is obviously a lot more clear with an organization like D&H.
Yeah, you're bang on that. There is always a reluctance to partner with someone that could end up being a competitor, and so a lot of sensitivity around that. And we provide a solution there, right? They don't need to do that. Now, I would say that there's a lot of instances out in the marketplace where VARs partner with VARs. There's some good, there's a lot of great working relationships and trust. And I think that trust, by the way, is far greater with each other than it used to be. However, there still is a hesitancy, and this does provide a trusted solution and a trusted opportunity for them to, again, to represent the services as their own in front of their customers.
Right on.
Yeah, I agree with that. And what I would say is that we're also eliminating a lot of the risk on the operational side. So not only the trust factor, making sure that, the providers that go in and do the service work are quality, but also, from a payment perspective, we're handling all that transaction on the back end. So if there is a dispute on the payment side, we handle and take away a lot of that pain. So I think there's a comfort level there, just knowing the D&H is standing behind these services that they wouldn't get elsewhere.
Okay. I know these are just, you say about a month in market, but I'm always looking ahead as much as I can be. I'm curious what you see as sort of next steps for your services and basically where you see this going over, say, the balance of the year and beyond as presumably it gains traction in the market.
Yeah, I think for us, we want to listen to the marketplace. We've launched the services. We think we've got a really wide line card. But we're going to listen to our partners. At the end of the day, our partners are going to tell us where we need to make investments. And, for us, it's early days, but we're really excited about the direction. We've got a wide line card, like I said, and then we're really going to continue to build out our vertical practices and make sure that we're doing the right things and helping partners, build their business the right way that makes sense for them. So, for us, at the end of the day, we're here for our partners. We want to work with them in the right ways, and it's incumbent upon us to listen to them. And they'll really guide us in terms of where we want to make our investments.
And I'll add one other thing that to Chris's point here, which is, while this makes it much more cost-effective, efficient for our partners, it provides them the capabilities and makes it easy. They still have to make a decision, right, as to what services to execute on and to engage us on. They still need to be, obviously, invest a little bit from a knowledge perspective and process perspective with us. Chris is right on. We take a lot of that cost offload back to D&H and make it easy for them. But they still need to make the decision as to where and what. And I think, so while we've seen a pretty good reception in terms of engagement already, we're still in answering your first question, Rob. We're still promoting this. We're still out in the marketplace. This today helps us, but we're out there talking about it. Our field people are talking about it, and we're having those level of discussions, pulling Chris and his team in as well. And so I think we're going to see more and more traction as a lot of the VAR community decides what they want to engage in. And I think back to the first point, security will be, and it already is, top of the charts so far.
All right. Appreciate those insights. All the best with getting the services out there and continue to build them. And I look forward to seeing how this develops. It's a fascinating space in the channel. Gentlemen, once again, thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you.
Robert, thank you as always.
There you have it, D&H Canada's services strategy, straight from Roy Rivers and Chris Ralston from the distributor. I'd like to thank Roy and Chris for taking the time to chat, thank D&H Canada for their continuing support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening. The ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back tomorrow as we introduce you to the new boss at ESAT Canada, Bob Bonneau. Bob's a veteran of Ingram Micro, so he's got a firm grip on the channel, so we'll get his thoughts on his new gig, as well as top opportunities for the company's partners in tomorrow's edition of the podcast. In the meantime, we'd appreciate it if you take a moment to leave us a rating in your podcast app of choice, and of course, you can subscribe to the podcast in either Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. Until next time, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.